Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah on this third Sunday after Pentecost. It's good to have you here on a beautiful, beautiful sunny summer Savannah day, isn't it? If you are a guest with us visiting from out of town, we welcome you. It's great to have you here. And if you are a visitor from here in Savannah, we welcome you as well. And as always, to those of you who are members here, hello. And it is good to see you this morning. When the offering plate is being passed later in the service, there are these little books that you can fill out your name in. And if you would, put your name so you can record your attendance in there, and we can know that you have come to see us today. So we welcome you. And if you will, join with me as we say our call to worship. We come to worship our God, who has done wonders in our lives. We come to follow Jesus, who bears our lives with grace and hope. We come to be touched by the Spirit, who brings gentleness and peace for all. So let us worship our God. The Lord be with you. And let us all pray together. God of love and peace, who is always with us, we gather today to offer our praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing love. The love you have shown toward us generation after generation, decade after decade, and for the compassion you shower on us day after day. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move among us as we worship, open our hearts and our minds to see you at work among us, encouraging, challenging, uplifting, and inspiring as each one has need. May our worship bring honor and glory to you. Amen.
Thank you.
Join me now as we affirm our faith together. We believe in the triune God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, who calls us to abandon our pride and to embrace people in every condition. We believe that we must feed those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, clothe the naked, and address the needs of the sick, the imprisoned, the stranger, and whomever. We believe that whatever we do for one of God's children, we are doing for God. If we should turn our backs or harden our hearts to the cries of any of God's children, we have rejected the very God who has redeemed us. But if we minister in God's name, we shall receive eternal life, prepared for those who honor God with their deeds as well as their words.
For more than 400 years now, Baptist Christians have practiced the ordinance of Christian baptism. It recalls our Lord's own baptism by John the Baptist at the Jordan River, but just as importantly, it is symbolic of our own dying to sin and being raised to walk in newness of life. This morning, we're privileged to share this moment of Christian commitment with Josh Moriarty, who recently professed his faith in Jesus Christ and expressed a desire to follow him in baptism. He does not make this commitment alone, but is supported by a loving family, many friends, and this good church. Would you now tell Josh what you want him to know by speaking together the unison blessing printed in your order of worship? We thank God for your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. We happily welcome you into the Church of Jesus Christ and into the membership of this congregation. We will do the work of Christ together, cooperatively, compassionately, and courageously. We celebrate the joy of your salvation. We praise God for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We witness your baptism in the name of God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Josh, would you now, before these people, profess your faith in Jesus as Lord? Then, in obedience to the divine command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and upon your public profession of faith in him, I baptize you, Joshua Paul Moriarty, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "As you go, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
lesson is Psalm 86, 1 through 10. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save thy servant who trusts in thee. Thou art my God, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to thee do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of thy servant, for to thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, O Lord, art good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Hearken to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble I call on thee, for thou dost answer me. There is none like thee among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like thine. All the nations thou hast made shall come and bow down before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou alone art God.
The second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order and listen to my appeal. Agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, or be with all of you. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, and beginning to read at verse 24. These words of Jesus. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. This is the written word of the Lord. Again, for those of you who may be counting, this is sermon number 1021 in a series which is not only a lot of sermons to write, by my calculation, about 7,000 pages of double-spaced text, but I admit a lot of sermons to listen to over 23 years. I figure that Seely Sutton has listened to nearly 1,000 of them, which is a pretty scary thought in and of itself. And yet, I'm grateful for a few moments this morning to offer what, as most of you know, will be my final sermon as senior minister of First Baptist Church. Our epistle lesson for the morning includes the closing words of the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Mend your ways, heed my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. New Testament scholars all agree that in spite of a few contentious moments in their relationship, there was no congregation of Christian believers for whom the Apostle Paul had greater affection. Paul himself had brought the Christian message to Corinth, one of the most important cities in the ancient world, and it was through Paul's efforts that the church had been established there. In these four short verses, Paul shares his closing thoughts with the Corinthian church, what he wants them to know, what he hopes they will do with their lives, and what they will believe and become in Jesus Christ. So, what do I want to leave with you on this last Sunday as your senior minister? What do I want us to remember about these 23 years together? Well, one thing would be the way that we have shared our lives together. In this church, I have been able to work with some of the finest laypersons and most capable staff members to be found anywhere in Baptist life, as well as a host of dedicated civic and religious leaders here in Savannah. Many of you are still serving in some of those same roles, while many others have passed away. And I suppose that if we were to start naming them all one by one this morning, we would be here for a very long time, and all of us would be reduced to tears. All to say, I am grateful for the people with whom I have worked across 2 decades and more. By the way, there have been some hysterically funny moments on this journey, and I have to mention a few of them here. Like the Wednesday shortly after I arrived in Savannah, when I went back to the kitchen, the old kitchen, and found Willie Mae Deloach and Janice Quarterman preparing the meal for that evening. They said to me, and I'm not making this up, "Doc, do you like crap?" Or so I thought. I said, "I beg your pardon?" And they repeated it a second time. I thought, well, what kind of disrespect is this? I've come all the way down here from Atlanta to listen to this. They were cleaning crab shells. They were extracting crab meat. But my Midwestern background didn't allow me, upon first hearing, to understand their coastal Georgia accent. And then there was the Sunday morning when, in a sermon, I actually used the word pregnant, perhaps for the very first time in this sanctuary ever, giving both Alcee Raven and Mary Jane Duncan the vapors and nearly sending them into apoplexy. And then there was the Wednesday night program when James Richardson and Chip Reeves and I dressed up in overalls and fake beards and straw hats to sing a rendition of "I Am a Man of Constant Sorrow" as the Soggy Bottom Boys. Chip Reeves was only too eager to do it. James Claude Richardson required a great deal of persuasion, and he's still not over it yet. We have shared other moments together when we celebrated the births of good young ones born into our church family or dedicated them to God as a part of our worship. I have watched as countless older children and young persons have danced back here in the hallway with happy feet following their baptisms, much as Josh Moriarty did this morning. I have been here long enough now that I have watched some of those same young people get married in this church and have children of their own, something most pastors never, ever experience in a lifetime of ministry. And we have shared some sad moments as well when we said goodbye to yet another older saint of God who passed from this church to the church triumphant. We have done what I think good congregations and pastors do. We have shared our lives together at some of the most significant moments of the human experience and in all kinds of meaningful ways. We have shared it all, and for that I am especially grateful. Another thing I hope we will remember about these years together is how much we have changed. No, I am not referring to the fact that I had a head full of dark brown hair when I came here in July of 1994, almost all of which has turned gray or silver, and that the television lights shining down on me this morning provide me with a certain aura. There's nothing particularly spiritual about that. And I'm not referring to the fact that, along with about 90 or 95% of all the other churches in America, we are somewhat a smaller congregation than we were in our heyday. That's an admission that practically every pastor of this church could have made since about the year 1920. I'm talking instead about the ways in which we have changed, and I think in many respects for the better. 25 years ago, First Baptist Church owned a reputation of being something of a country club church. Visitors and prospective new members who appeared on Sunday mornings often found us rather standoffish, even elitist. Several of them wrote me letters the following week to complain that not a single person in the church had spoken to them on Sunday. Now contrast that with the email I received just this last Friday afternoon from a young man with a strong background in a fine North Carolina Baptist church who visited our church 1 week ago today. He wrote, "I met you last Sunday after worship. I am moving to the area in a few weeks. I just wanted to thank you for your warm welcome and to brag on how friendly your parishioners are. First Baptist Savannah is high on my list of potential churches once I move from Charlotte." We are thankfully a much more missional and engaged congregation as well. 20 years ago, we were still following the pattern of sending a little denominational missions money in December and promoting the Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong missions offerings twice a year. But aside from a week of vacation Bible school in the summer and contributing food items for Thanksgiving baskets and a few individual volunteers giving their time to Emmaus House and Habitat for Humanity, there really was not a great deal of engagement with the needs of the community and the region and the world taking place here on a congregational level. I really believe that God had more in mind for us. And when you were made aware of the needs and the opportunities, you responded. We developed a partnership with Cuban Baptists and supported the ministries of three different congregations there by sending 35 mission teams composed of probably 75 different people to that island nation since 1995. First Baptist Church gave birth to Congregations in Service, Savannah's largest ecumenical and interfaith effort, which brings together hundreds of persons in two service weekends per year to benefit local helping agencies and ministries. The same could be said about your response to hosting homeless families 2 weeks each year through Interfaith Hospitality Network, which involves perhaps our largest number of members in a single ministry. All of these ways of helping and serving and loving other people enabled us to gain a greater heart for missions and to follow the agenda that Jesus set for his own ministry. And not so surprisingly, these changes made our church at the same time a much more attractive and inviting family of faith to others, and in turn brought many of the 274 persons who have joined our congregation in the last 23 years, precisely because they wanted their lives to count and to be a part of a congregation that was making a difference in the world. We are also a changed congregation because you have been unafraid to address the most pressing cultural and denominational issues of our day. Now, I happen to think that this has been a part, always, of our congregational DNA and is seen best in our comparatively early support for racial integration in the 1960s and for women's equality in the 1970s, including the ordination of women both as deacons and as ministers. It has been demonstrated in doing the hard, hard work of separating ourselves from the Southern Baptist Convention after 155 years and then finding new denominational partners. And more recently, it has been seen in the full acceptance of LGBTQ persons in the life of the church. I confess what you already know. None of these issues has been particularly easy to deal with. And all have been painful at certain points and full of emotion. As one of our brightest young adults put it, there is always a price to pay for doing the right thing. I believe that we have done the right thing in keeping with our own mission and vision statements and in a way consistent with the values of this church. And I really believe that to the extent that you are willing to live fully into that identity and to display in the future that same kind of courageous spirit, that there are many good days ahead for this congregation. I really do. On Saturday, I will begin my new role as the executive director of the Baptist History and Heritage Society, a group of professional historians and scholarly pastors and staff ministers and other interested laypersons. I know that the interim period ahead is full of uncertainty for many of you, and to some it may seem like 1993 all over again, the last time First Baptist Church was without both a senior minister and an associate minister. And yet I hope that in time you will see this moment for what it is, a truly great gift that only could have happened in God's timing for this church. It allows you, the congregation, to ask what God has in store for First Baptist Church and to open the door for the person or the persons God is preparing even now to lead First Baptist Church. You have Kyle Ballantyne, Josh Brewer, an excellent support staff, other ordained clergy, and wonderful lay leaders to serve you. In the next few months, you will find and you will call an intentional interim pastor who will lead you into the future that God has in store. And perhaps a year or so from now, you will call a new pastor. And I hope embrace that person just as you accepted me. My beloved predecessor, Dr. Tom Austin, standing right there at the head of this aisle one day, told me that First Baptist Church Savannah had been his Camelot, and he hoped that it would be for me as well. Tom Austin was right about a lot of things in life, including that wish for me. I have loved Savannah, and I have absolutely loved being your pastor. And that is why one of the best parts of my new role is that I don't have to move my furniture anywhere, and that Norma and I can remain members of this church. As I said to one of you in a text last night, I will be going away for a while, but I'm not going very far, and not for very long. Thanks be to God for all that we have shared together in life, for the ways we have been changed for the good, and for the privilege of being your pastor. And remember this: agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thank you. our Lord taught his disciples how to pray and promised that what we would ask in his name would be given us. Let us ask our God this morning to guide us by the Holy Spirit, that our prayers would serve God's will and show God's steadfast love for all the world. Let us join our hearts together as we pray silently, and then as we offer to our God the prayers of God's people this day. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks today for being in our lives such a gracious and generous God. For we know that once we were no people at all, lost, unclaimed, and unredeemed. But now, out of your great love, we have been made to be God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. We praise your name, O God, for making us to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Receive our worship as we declare the wonderful deeds of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy. And yet, Lord God, there are moments when the darkness in us and in our world seem nearly to overwhelm us. With the Apostle Paul, we confess that there are times when we do not do what we want, but we do the very thing we hate. We fail to choose good, and we prefer evil, and sin dwells within us. Forgiving, Lord, look to your wayward children. Forgive our sins, and give us such love and joy in Jesus Christ that darkness may be driven from us and your light shine in our lives by faith. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, drive the darkness from our world as well, for there is so much hurt and brokenness all around. Wars rage on, diseases go unchecked, accidents take innocent lives, and so many innocent persons suffer. O God of light, be present in darkness wherever it is found, and hear our prayer even when we do not know how to pray for our world, knowing as we do that your Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, at our very best, we desire to live lives of faithfulness and obedience to your way. Show us your truth again, revealed in Jesus Christ and taught by the Holy Spirit. When we are weak, keep us strong, so that we fail not others or you. And hear us this morning as we pray, using the words that Jesus taught his first disciples when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
We live and tell a story of how God has dealt generously with us, of how Christ has met our needs, heard our prayers, and blessed our lives with beauty. So in our action of giving, may we give testimony to a story of a gracious God.
Thank you.
us all pray together. God, who walks with us through our journeys, remind us again and again that you are always with us, celebrating our victories, crying with us in our sorrows, and always present in our everyday walking around, living and breathing life. Take our lives, and may we be gifts to this world. May the Holy Spirit lead us, and may we bestow the grace of Christ to others, and may we show love generously as God has generously loved us. Amen.
The invitation to Christian discipleship is extended now. What better day than today to profess your own faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or to come expressing a desire to unite with his church, which meets in this good place. As we sing this great hymn, and as you respond, we would receive you this day with great joy. Each Sunday of the year, it is our good pleasure at First Baptist Church to welcome visitors, many for the very first time, others for as returning friends, and today is no exception. We welcome a number of people connected with the Savannah College of Art and Design, also new friends from Tifton, Georgia, and Suwanee, Georgia, and also right here in our own city of Savannah. We welcome you all. And hope that you'll give our people an opportunity to greet you in the name of Christ following the service today. And now I believe Reverend Brewer has an announcement.
Following our service, there's a reception for Dr. Finley over in Lewis Hall. So please join us for that so that you can say thank you for all that Pastor Finley has done in this good place for 23 years. So please join us for that.
It's considered poor form to invite people to your own party. So that's why I asked them to do that. Well, and now as we prepare to leave this good place, would you receive the benediction, and then would you stand and sing the congregational response that's printed in your order of worship?
Let us pray. May God give you wisdom never to sell yourself short, courage to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. May God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and work through them. May God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.